boy, who doesn't love the classic country and western songs about muskie fishing? JSE presents the Classics of Country Muskie Fishing Songs, available from Muskie 360 Records for just 9 payments of $49.99. Who can forget timeless hits like The Muskie Rolls?
Morning, not a boat in sight. Lake's looking like a ghost town on a full moon summer night. Then a musky rose, a musky rose, a musky rose, a musky rose.
And every musky fisherman loves to get their beaver wet on the Muscahoochee.
Way down yonder on the Muscatoochee, the beaver bites hotter than a hoochie-coochie. Way down yonder on the Muscatoochee, the beaver bites hotter than a hoochie-coochie.
We've all been there. You gotta say, take this lake and shove it.
Well, take this lake and shove it. I ain't casting here no more. Muskie done left and took off. I was working for.
And don't be embarrassed to wipe a tear from your eye as JSE sings The Toad Gambler.
You gotta know when to cast, know when to troll on, know when to burn the blades, when to load that tool.
Call now. Elmer is standing by. All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. Jaybird, I did not know you were such a yee-hauler. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow.
I try. You know, I mean, genres, that's my middle name, really. I mean, I dabble in a lot of different genres. Those mm-hmm. are just a few of them, you know.
That's impressive.
Thank you.
You're the Ernest Tubb of our generation.
Oh, man.
The Suck Owens, if you will.
Sing it loud, sing it proud.
Call Elmer. He's standing by, folks.
Give him a call.
Give him a call. Let Elmer know you need JSE's country classic hits. Goodness gracious. It is August something.
Hot.
It's hot. Most places you go, it's hot. I got to tell you, folks. Me and Jay were talking about the podcast. If you're struggling, we've got a lot of emails this week, so just cover it. People were catching fish and now they're not, right? What happens this time of year when it's the peak temps, those fish move out to the breaks and they suspend. So if you're struggling with fish, get out there, get into some trolling stuff. Jay, you've been seeing it where fish are sort of hanging off the edges of stuff, are a little bit suspended, correct? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. Ever since peak water temps hit, and mm-hmm. we get ours, you know, kind of mid-July to right about now.
Yep.
I mean, the cooler days, the days are getting, I mean, obviously, sunlight's getting shorter. The days mm-hmm. are getting shorter now, so won't be long. We've got some 80s in the forecast coming, but as soon as it starts, you know, cooling off a little bit, the water temp slid down a little bit last week here in the low 70s. That was mm-hmm. refreshing to see, you know, because everyone gets a little panicky when it gets around
right.
80.
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, you've had some great water temps down there. You've just been battling with remnants of, like, typhoons and stuff or something,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, a hurricane or, like, Tropical Storm Fred has moved through. That was exciting. Yesterday,
Fred, the Berlin Wall.
I stood in the rain, and I don't mean, like, I saw every kind of rain in one day. Like, there was no rain gear that would keep you dry. It just didn't matter. It was blowing in the under the hood. Everything is like sideways rain, vertical rain, upside down rain, you name it.
Rain even came from up from the bottom.
Exactly. We had all kinds of rain. It was ridiculous. But, you know, that's the one thing, just to summarize a ton of questions we've got this week. Get off the break lines. Those fish are starting to suspend. They're going a little bit deeper. Now, here in a second, those fish are going to move back up shallow. So
it won't be long.
No.
Yeah.
It won't be long, but if you're hitting some of this water now, you need to be fishing those brake lines. Jay, one thing, and you brought it up and mentioned before we started doing this, is the new beaver videos out. If you want to know how to fish a beaver.
Right. It's an unusual bait.
Beaver. Unusual.
It's a lot of attention in the shop. It really always has. You know, people look at that thing. They've heard of it. They go, I want to see this beaver. You know, when they come in, and it's like, oh, there we are. You know,
hey, look at that thing. That's that Justin Beaver.
Hey, it's a cool bait. It's completely different. You know, it's more or less a jerk bait, I guess.
It's
kind of built around a bucktail body.
It's kind of
funky. Undulates.
Yeah. It's a swimming sort of shimmy. I don't know. It's up and down. You know, it's a weird look, man. I like to break up the beaver when things are tough. You know, that's what I'm thinking about, breaking that thing out. But
the one tip I'd have that a lot of people don't seem to do or seem to overlook is get a weight kit with it. The beaver ones aren't available right now, but I mean, we've got the Suic weight kits, or if you've got a screw in weight system, you know, in your tackle box,
they're all the same.
Put a half ounce in there or something like that. 3/4 of an ounce. They seem to be more versatile with that kind of weight attached.
Well, and like you're saying, there's a Suic weighting kit. It's the same. It's a number six machine screw that everybody uses and all that stuff.
How do you know these things?
Cause I know.
Okay.
Me smart good.
It's a universal size though. I mean,
it is across musky bags.
Suic one will fit in there. Yeah.
And they're, like I said, what I've done in the past is just use disc weights, and you've seen it on like the Titan prototypes and stuff. That's just I just sneezed. Wow, I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, the Titan ones run the same one, right?
It's a number six machine screw. So, you know, it's all universal, whether it be like a Kodiak Navin or a Titan or the Suix, you can get it all done. It's the same stuff with the beaver.
Hey, speaking of the Titan, did I tell you I went out Saturday around dinner time later in the day because it was a Saturday, and I went to that one lake where I got that 47 and you got that 46. And I went back in the same kind of areas, and I had a really good one on the Titan and lost it at the boat.
Well,
not a hog. It was about 43, but it was like, it was tough conditions. I've never seen more pontoons and jet skis on that boat. And it was just, I had a good one on the Titan. That was cool.
Nice.
The Titan that you gave me, that crappie pattern.
Folks, cool. And if you didn't catch us last week, Titan's coming out from Livingston Lures. Check it out, muskyshop.com. They were kind enough. They have like a pre-sign-up kind of thing, so you can get a notification when it comes out. So head over there and pick a color.
It's going to be fall, but it's coming.
It's going to be
before
cool.
November, but
we're before that. They're moving good and grooving. So check them out and get signed up so you know when they come out. Because the one thing we need to bring up, because we got a ton of emails about them, is it's going to be limited quantities. You know, so just be prepared for that. It's going to be like a limited release kind of deal. So you want to get signed up so when they come out, because everybody's like, when do they kamikazes? You're always sold out. Like, you know, it's first come, first serve. So you want to make sure
they're not
that
making
you know
a lot of them. It's the same thing. Yeah, they're not going to make a ton of them.
Because they're special.
They're very special.
Special. So sign up for it. It's going to be fun. If you didn't hear me last week, it's my bait. It's cool. I promise it doesn't suck. That's what the box says.
Yes.
It just says, the box has my face on it. Because I promise it doesn't suck.
Does it really say that?
No, that'd be cool though. That'd be like,
what
if that was a description.
What kind of picture do you have on there? Are you giving it like a thumbs up with a big smile or no?
No, it's actually, to be honest with you, that was really awkward. That's when I learned from my wife it was time to start dyeing my eyebrows.
Oh, okay.
Because I just hit the big, I turned 40 in November, which is terrifying.
Oh, it's so traumatic.
And like, I have this patch of gray on the side of my head, and from being out in the sun every day, all day, musky fishing, like my eyebrows are like getting sun bleached, and I sort of look like Powder. Remember the movie Powder? I look stupid. So, Yeah, I'm just smiling like a dumbass in the picture.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's sort of like, hey, man, check out this baby, man. I don't know what he put on the box. Pete on his box picture, he's all like showing some teeth and whatnot.
I tell you what, muskies are moving right now, though. You know how I know?
How's that?
I got deer standing around my yard right now.
Deer
all over the front yard.
Deerts.
They're moving. Hey, you know what? We got another cool new thing in here today at the shop that I did not tell you about. You're going to laugh because it's one of your favorite companies, but these are seriously cool looking baits by Mega Lures.
Mega Lures.
Yep. Remember
they're
that?
They're from Slovenia.
Yeah, they're from Serbia.
Wow.
Made for men, not boys.
The package. Okay, let me back it
up. They're not in the package anymore. I threw them away.
I hear you, but dude, we went. They're not listening to the podcast in Serbia, so I can tell the story.
Well,
they send them.
Surprised.
They send them over. Well, that's true. We have the Europeans. They sent over these packages, these baits, and literally on these baits is made for men, not for boys.
That's their slogan.
Listen. It's shocking because my underwear say that as well. Made for men,
Me tell you something. These things are so good looking.
Uh-huh.
You know, you were very appreciative of fine paintwork, right?
Mm, tasty.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. Hand-painted stuff. They're wood baits, big metal lips. They got some... A 10 and a 14 inch that's kind of like a Jake cut.
I need
grandma.
This. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need
and
this.
A couple that have more of a. I'll send you a picture. Or you can check it out on the website. It's muskyshop.com, Steve.
Oh, shameless plug there, Musky Shop.
I got them on the top of the new product section. But check
that's
them out
cool.
when we get off the phone.
I've talked to these people.
I mean, these are the coolest looking things like we've gotten in. I mean, it's unbelievable custom work on these things.
Really? How much? Hold on.
Yeah.
That's the thing is like, hold on. I'm looking at Mega Electra 9.
Bring it up. Yeah.
Those are actually badass.
Enlarge those pictures. Click on it. Look at like dark trout. Look at the detail on that. It's just scary.
To be honest with you, I don't know if this is a fact or not, but they used to advertise on the app when we first started. And I wonder I wonder if that's how they found the shop. Because I've talked to those people and they're super cool.
Okay.
The dude's like a big trout fisherman. Mega lure giant stalker
trout?
14.
Yes.
Freaking good Lord. That's like.
Yeah. Yeah. And somebody commented from like Lake St. Clair or something. He's like, yeah, I've been using the Electras for a while, trolling them, and they work great. He's a big fan of them. I'm like, wow, that's great.
That's cool.
We don't have a lot of feedback on them yet, you know? So.
Well, I'll tell you what, I like that. The Electra, I like the price if you're buying a giant bait. Those look bitching.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Cool little.
Made for men, not for boys.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. If you're a boy, don't buy this bait.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, do you guys check if somebody orders a bait, if they're a man or a boy? And
yeah,
what
there's
would
a screening the, process, but there's... usually Elmer takes care of that in the back room.
Understood.
Yes.
So make sure. Don't buy that bait if you're a boy. No boys. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Good stuff.
The other thing that came in is the Pugsley.
The what now?
Bolarmekar. That's me. Folks, me and Jay are big Star Trek fans. We're just talking Klingon. That's the Spanky Bates Pugsley.
The Pugsley.
Which is a Bolarmekar. Don't want to say it on the...
hey, someone else brought that up. Someone else tagged
Bolarmekar.
Those just came out from Spain. Well, we got a ton of stuff in this week. Bunch of red October tubes. Not everything, just like two boxes at a time. Like two... I think each box is like 75 pounds when it comes in. We got four total this last week, and then we got three more coming in tomorrow. And he is cranking out tubes for us as fast as he can.
Cranking these tubes, folks.
Yep. Made in New York State.
Crank that too.
Old Mark Arena.
Anyway, check out Spanky Bait's The Pugsley, which is a Bolar Makar. Sorry, that joke comes from, I'll tell you that. Me and Jay were dying laughing last night. So if somebody searches something on the Musky Shop website and they don't spell it right, I get a notification to see if people are looking for things you don't have.
Right, because it tells us that it doesn't match anything, you know, and it's like so left field that it just doesn't match anything.
And there's this list of stuff people have typed in with the worst spellings ever, and it was some old dude kept typing in Bolar Makar, which is hilarious. But anyway, check out the Spanky Baits Pugsley. It is a suspending bucktail, if you will, that's not $8 million and is built to last and actually has a really good blade that works on it. Those are cool. Bolar Makar! Folks, if you want to win a free bait, this is not a joke. We haven't, Jay, that's, dude, we've been sucking with free baits, by the way. Have you noticed that?
Good point. Yeah, that's true.
We've been so busy. So here's the deal. If you want to win what do you say, a Viper? Can we give away a Viper?
A Livingston Viper?
Okay.
Sure.
If you want to win a Livingston Lures Viper, okay, tell me who are the two Klingons that were trying to be supreme leaders in front of the Grand Council. Okay. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
That's it. It's very simple. You know the answer. I know the answer because it's Star Trek The Next Generation. Bolar Makar! So if you can tell me the two Klingons that were trying to be supreme leader, one of them had Captain Picard as his Chadich. Actually, no, that was Worf that took him as his Chadich. But anyway, we're crawling down the rabbit hole of weirdness here. But if you want to win a free Livingston Viper, you tell me the two Klingons that were jockeying to be the leader of the Klingons.
Is that a typewriter I heard in the background?
I just dropped a pen, Jay.
Oh, okay. It sounded like a typewriter. Like, you know, there's some news feed coming in, you know, from
dumb contest.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Jay, would you be my Chadich?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
It's when Picard was the advocate. Actually, he's like, at one point, Picard is actually like the overseer of the transition of power for the Klingon High Council anyway.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Right, but, and then he goes and he represents Worf as his Chadich in front of the High Council, trying to restore Worf's honor because, you know, of what happened.
You've seen that episode probably once and you remember it.
Oh, I remember all that. Yeah.
Your memory is
right. Because freaking some people blame Worf's parents for what happened, but it was really the Romulans. It was a Kittiger massacre. And, Worf had sort of taken the fall for that and had, you know, had just been discommunicated, if you will.
Oh boy. That's terrible.
Yeah. And so, here's Worf, big. He's got the big sad, and what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I know.
Back to musky fishing.
Okay.
Now for something completely different. If you want to win a bait, answer my question. We'll give a musky fishing bait away here on something normal. Oh my goodness. So.
Yeah, you said we had a lot of Q&A this week, trying to get caught up, right?
We do.
So, I mean, okay.
We got those, but I'm just running my mouth. Deal with it.
No, sure.
You know, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got an email from Pete today.
Pete Mena?
Yeah, I invited him. So me and Jay and Jim Stewart, Jim the Tube Screamer Stewart, we're going to Leech Lake next month.
Yes.
Okay. And we're doing a thing called the Muskie Battle with a bunch of other YouTube people that are cool. And so we're going to be giving away some prizes on the podcast. We're going to have all the people that sort of participate in this Muskie Battle on the podcast. And it's all good people. And so there's going to be more on that later. But keep your ear to the ground. We have sucked with giving away free prizes. We'll get you some more juniors going and some more baits here. We love to give this stuff away. We're like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Jay. Give it away now. Yes. So let's do this.
Boy, that's going to be fun fishing in Minnesota.
Is it though?
Bleach Lake. Oh man,
it'll be fun to go. We're gonna have a good time.
It's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to it.
We're gonna do more of a vlog style episode, which is weird because we're lame asses. So who wants to see us? That's a weird thing. Like when people do these fishing shows, you're like, here's us eating sandwiches. I've never understood that. Like maybe I'm just old.
Well, we should make a YouTube video, you know, based on that kind of direction, you know.
I'll tell you, the only YouTube video that matters is Todd and Dave.
Oh, my gosh. Todd and Dave debuts next week. Next Tuesday.
Put your friggin' diapers on, because you're going to...
Yeah, put your diapers
yourself,
on. Because
you're going to... Your pants. Twice.
Yeah.
Right in the pants. Jay, where's it going to happen? In the pants.
Dave... Shut up, Dave.
Shut up, Dave.
Oh, man. Right in your pants. I can't wait for people to see it. It turned out great.
He went to the basement of the Muskie shop and he found a dusty old Betamax tape.
Yep.
He put it on and on VHS, and guess what happened, Jay?
Gold lights appeared. I don't know.
His pants.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right there in the store. Had to get new pants because he went.
So we digitally remastered it and we're putting
digitally
it out
digitally remastered.
Week.
Yeah.
It'll be
James Cameron
in the middle of a
James Cameron that did Titanic digitally remastered it for us.
Yeah. He's the best.
It's really good.
Knows what he's doing.
All I got to say is the gaff is back, baby.
If you like old school musky fishing, this is right up your alley.
It'll make you your pants. Anyways. God, I'm ridiculous. I've had like 2 16-ounce glasses of Pepsi since an hour. So it's one of those days. I was dealing with your country cut classics.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I cut that stuff after work tonight, huh?
I love it. So anyway, another thing, housekeeping here. Again, we're getting into... Well, there's the waves, Jay, of musky fishing, right?
Yes, sir.
There's the summer guys, and there's the guys that waited around for fall. So I'm starting to get at the app a lot of questions about rods and reels again. I'm going to tell you.
Okay, yeah. Well,
right?
a lot of the muskie tournaments are just actually starting out this weekend. This weekend for us in the Northwoods is like the kickoff, you know. It's the first big one, and there's a muskie tournament or three or five in the area every week until – generally like mid-October.
The end of time.
That one this weekend in Eagle River that Elmer is a part of, and he's part of the organizing crew of the Alliance, what's it called? The Alliance Tournament, I think. National Championship or something like that, it's also called. They get like 1,300 people in that thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, there you go. Big tournaments coming up. You got like the world muskie hunt stuff, all that stuff. So some
that's next
guy,
week, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, guys are asking questions about reels. I'll tell you, if you want a bulletproof reel, so we don't have to answer the same questions we've done on the podcast a few trillion times, that Daiwa, the Pro-Rex?
The Pro-Rex, yeah, the TWS.
It's pretty smexy.
Yeah. Well, there's two of them. There's two Pro-Rexes out now. There's a Wind version, too. They're both awesome. Absolutely,
they're
awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty much bulletproof,
and they're so light and they're so low profile.
The cool
they're
thing for
very,
me, Jay, they got a little bit of a Prince vibe.
Oh, you like the TWS with the purple going
they're
on there? In
they're
the
black and purple.
Once the lines on the spool, it kind of covers up the whole Prince vibe.
They got purple embellishments.
Well, you just know it's in there though, and that's enough to just kind of really get you going.
Absolutely. That's all it takes for me. So if you want a reel with some Prince vibe to it, it's a good reel. If you don't want the Prince vibe, the line covers most of the Prince vibe up. No, they're really good. Till I find a righteous one. Computer blue.
Yeah, reels are really hard to come by this year. We can't buy as many as we'd like to buy, and we did get some of these new Daiwa's in, and we're very impressed with them.
No, they're cool. I like Daiwa stuff, you know. You pretty much have to take what people have in stock on reels this year. Hopefully it sorts out here shortly.
So, yeah, I don't know.
But you can't go wrong there. Yeah, I know, it's just like the excuse for everything is the dreaded conversation we avoid on the podcast. But check those out. We're blabbing anyway. Sign up to get a notification when the Titan comes out, please.
If you Titan's going to be groundbreaking.
I promise
you. I've seriously never seen a dive rise you do that. It's like, you know me, I like my Big Fork Sandcats, right?
Uh-huh.
Like the 8-inch model, especially if I want a dive rise presentation.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. Titan does that, but it. I'm not saying it does more, but it's something if... you explain it better, but you can crank that thing in. You can pull it as hard as you want, and it'll still track. It won't blow out. You can't do that with any dive rise, and it's all in the design, the head design, and everything.
I'm hoping
it's got it going on.
I'm hoping, and if it goes the way I want it to. I'll just take every podcaster that like emails me on a trip. If like we sell, like if they sell forever, like a Hellhound or something. So I don't have to do much. I'm teasing. This is like a SAT question, but the Titan is what the Hellhound is to gliders.
Yeah.
Anybody can use it. So you don't have to worry about getting a good dive and rise anymore. So like if you buy you get these early, you're going to be ahead of the crowd, because what's going to happen, I think eventually everybody hopefully will have one in their box because it's just stupid easy. So anyway, I'll shut up about that, but check them out. It's on there. Jay, let's do some questions. What do you think?
Q&A.
Yeah, answer sure. A question. And by the way, one thing we've not talked about, I'll tell you this. And I'm not glancing ever, but yes, Canada did sort of open up here. We'll have some reports on that. There's obviously some fish getting caught. It's sort of crazy right now, but some people have emailed about it. A couple people asked why we didn't go to film or anything like that. A little bit early for us as far as like no warning. You know, everybody's like, why didn't you guys go? We got no warning. It was like the day of the bash, it opened up, and it's just like, our fall is planned, so we'll be up there here shortly. But Roy says, just a heads up, as a pike angler from Europe, dang, Netherlands/Belgium, I love the podcast. Well, a V-Design. Is that what they say over there?
No, that's German.
Sploopel.
You're in the ballpark, but go on.
Well, hold on. Let's do this. Are you ready?
Sure.
Are you ready for this? Let's see if I can do it live on the thing. Tim. Oh. I'm calling Tim.
Tim, call.
Jay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Man, I'm sorry. I'll edit the most of those rings out, folks. I just tried calling Tim from the Netherlands. I was going to have him like talk mad crap to this dude in Dutch. But what? I was going to get Tim on here. He could translate. I mean, this guy's English is perfect, but it would be fun to have another person from the Netherlands. He said he loves the podcast. Lots of insights. He said they're valuable when I'm chasing these big northerns over here. He says, please keep the no-nonsense vibe of the podcast. It's refreshing in this day and age of sponsored brand soldiers. Oh, I appreciate that. And he also says, can you guys do some punk riffs for the guitar intros and all that stuff? So, we can we're always making fun of something. We'll do some heavier or some punkier intros. Yeah, dude. We're not... I'm not waving anybody's flag over here. Like, if you don't throw this, I mean, I feel like a douche talking about the Titan. Try my best. I mean, I'm proud of it, but you know, it's just like everything in the meat. Like, and Jay, me and you talk about this all the time. It's just like everything you watch or everything you see every more is like some veiled sales attempt.
The stamp of heavy influence from some direction.
Like everything on YouTube anymore says includes paid promotion. Well, guess what? Muskie Shop TV, guess what I got paid for that? Nothing. So no paid promotion.
Yeah. Everything we're using, we bought.
Yeah. So, you know, trying to keep it the non-douche as possible because I'm so sick of like guys are like, You know, I mean, they're getting like, they're
yeah,
getting
we're like, trying. I mean, Todd and Dave, I mean, they spell it out like it is. When you see Todd and Dave,
you understand.
I mean, these guys got it going on. There they had it going
that's
on
the
back
real,
in the
that's
late
the
80s.
Real deal. Yeah. Bronskis. Mm-hmm. But now that's the nature of the beast anymore. Is like nobody knows how to make money in fishing, so they take money from companies and do this and do that. So I appreciate that. We try to keep it as non-douchey as we can on the podcast. Mike says, hey guys, love the podcast. Love the summer bash. Are you doing a summer bash 2.0 in 2022? Oh, hells yeah.
You better believe it.
July 16th, 2022. And that's a fact. Mark it on your calendar. If you guys are actually like, if you're living a life of shame, Jay, are you living a life of shame?
No, sir.
Okay, because you were there. If you didn't attend the Musky Shop Bash 1.0, and you are living in shame because you didn't attend it, you can be there on July 16th next year. We're going to do it again. It was a
no
huge success.
No,
you have literally
you get
like
off work, no
right.
problem.
You, if you've got listen, if you got to quit your job and abandon your family today to be there next year, now's the time.
Well, get it over with.
Get it over with. The kids are going to be crying for like 6 months, so
they'll
you might
be fine.
They'll be their new dad's better than you anyway. Mm-hmm. You know it. I know it. Just abandon your family to be at the Musky Shop Bash, July 16th, 2022. Get it over with. Live.
Do you hear who the speakers are going to be yet?
John McNeack.
Yes.
Elmer Jensen.
Yes.
Will be parking cars. I will be doing a seminar. Pete Maina will be there because if he's not, I'll kick him in the Nards. Or I'll kick him in Menards. One of the two.
Okay.
I'll get some of my friends to come out. Book Daddy, I can get him again. We'll get some cool people out there. Yeah, it'll be a great speaker lineup, I'm sure. But yes, it's going to happen again. Leave your family now so you're freed up for the summer. Because next year is hot boy summer. Family's overrated, Jay.
Okay.
Think about it. I'm just saying. Mm. Anyway, he said, I'm planning to go Minocqua on Friday through Monday in the middle of September. I have a good idea of what the patterns and tactics that work in the warmer temps of midsummer to late summer are up there. But have not targeted fish during the summer to fall transition for a number of years due to personal life stuff. See, you should have just left them and you could have been up there.
Yep.
If I had 5 to 6 baits for this transitional period, what would be the ones you wouldn't leave home without? You
Ooh.
Know, what should I get from this shop? He actually says it. Shameless plug. What should I get from the Husky shop when I show up to the, up there on Friday? Is there stuff that I don't have? He said, you know, he doesn't want to be lugging a ton of boxes and all this crap. He just wants to have what he needs for that transitional period.
Yep. And he said he's fishing Friday through a Monday in mid-September in northern Wisconsin. Is
well, here in a week, it's like that probably the last week of August where it turns into September.
Yeah, great time.
That's a great time.
The golden week. You know, it really could be that pre-turnover thing.
You want to definitely be thinking about rubber. We did well on rubber up there. Jay was just talking diving rights. It's a shame you can't have a Titan. Shameless plug. But, you know, like a sand cat or a suic, something rubber, a dog, a tube, a deuce, you know, and then you still have to have, and you guys hear me preach against the blades and the bucktails, but if it cools down fast enough, those fish are going to move up shallow.
Yep, and that can be one of the best topwater bites of the year.
Yeah.
If not the best.
And I'll say this from just watching people up there, walk the dog. They see a lot of prop baits, but I'm not seeing a lot of freaking jackpots and weagles getting launched.
Yeah, it's like no one throws those anymore. It's weird, isn't it?
And that is such a like...
It's all prop baits.
Listen, jackpots is all Todd and Dave ever threw. Cold front, post giant jackpot. Warm front, post giant jackpot. Snowing, guess what, Jay?
Yeah. What would Dave throw? Exactly.
Tornado, post giant jackpot.
Dave Dukowski.
Anyway, you're in for a treat next week on the video, folks. Me and Jay are retarded.
Dave Todd.
anyway, just have a good walk the dog. I still right now, I mean, I hate to throw blades, but if I had to throw blades up there, I'd be throwing a single blade just because it feels different. And and be ready to work a deucer or a dog. You know, there's no silver bullet like we've talked about, but having those mid-sized rubber baits ready to go and knowing how to work them, I would think of anything else, man, I would be throwing a toad, though. You can load the toad. People aren't throwing it. They don't know how to throw it. Work that toad up and bounce it through the water column is probably going to catch more fish than just about anything else. Matt says, headed to Moose Lake August 29th through September 3rd. It's my first real muskie trip. I've never caught a muskie before. I've got all the gear. I've watched the videos, listened to the podcast religiously. Thank you very much. Have thought about nothing but muskie since. I booked this trip 6 months ago. Any suggestion what structure, depth, lure would be most conducive to putting a muskie in my boat? Appreciate any help. Moose Lake.
Moose Lake, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
There is one. It's in western Wisconsin.
There's Moose's Lake everywhere.
Yeah, I wonder if he's... Yeah. Okay, Moose Lake. Let's take a look at this bad boy.
Lay it on.
If it's Wisconsin, it's in Sawyer County, which is near Hayward.
Today's Tom 1500 Sawyer.
1,500 acres. Maximum depth of 21. So it's not a deep lake.
It gets by on you. Dun, 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 dun.
Doo-doo-da-neen. Well, looks like a weed lake. Now, here's another one. Here's another moose lake.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's the one in Sawyer County. It's a more popular destination. Elmer Jensen plays classic rock hits.
Keep going, Jay.
Hey, I'm bringing out a map on this bad boy right now. Okay. Yeah, it's flowage looking. It's shallow. And says it's moderately clear.
Sorry.
It's not a real interesting looking lake. I mean, just looking at this map here, it's got some water, but it's just a relatively shallow, really twisty curvy. It looks like a flooded river. Could have some good fishing. It could be some good fishing, but there's not a lot of structure.
Depending, I would assume he's probably talking Wisconsin. Realistically, probably. Regardless whether it be Moose Lake, Wisconsin, or Minnesota, or the litany of moose lakes there possibly are, this time of year, in the morning I'm going to start shallower, right? In the middle of the day I'm going to be on the deeper break and see if you can't get that first fall to sort of crack the code, right? Again, just like we talked to the other guy. Have your bucktails, have your topwater ready, but don't use them as your primary consideration. Use some hard baits like a mid-running crankbait, like a Depth Raider or a Livingston Rachel or a Lungeon 22. Find out where they are. You're going to have to do your homework, but most likely, depending on the water temperatures, those fish are going to be on that first break on that deeper weeder structure. I mean, extrapolate from there. Yeah,
Jake Smith was in today, you know, one of the Smitties. Younger Smitty.
He's
having the same thing. He's some of his guide trips are, you know, he's doing two trips a day and he does a morning trip or he does a full day trip and it starts at the crack of dawn. And he's been having last couple days really good surface bait action right away, and then they're kind of off that and they're fishing bucktails and right. Depending on the day, deeper running baits, like you said, crank baits off structure as the morning progresses.
Right.
Sorry, and that's been working for him pretty good.
I was playing Tom Sawyer again.
Yeah, I heard that.
You ready to sing it, Jay?
Nope.
Come on, do it. You can do it.
Today's Tom Sawyer, and it's down you. And down you.
Finally got a government. Always hope for that discontent. Changes are permanent.
Yeah, I think Neil wrote all the lyrics, especially that song.
Yeah, Neil Peart really overthought the lyrics. Wrote this,
you know what I mean? Yeah, and it's just like so Dungeons and Dragons-y.
Yeah, he, you know, give me working, man. you know.
Limelight. I'm a big Limelight fan. That's a great song.
I tell what, they call me the working man. Dude, wonder if Geddy Lee, is he a eunuch or did he put his balls in a vice?
I don't know. Those guys were, it's goofy. It's just goofy, their history. They're Canadians, you know? You know, they are Canadians. So they were hooked up with these major rock bands like Kiss when they started out in like 1974 touring or whatever.
Right.
You know, and everyone wanted to party, you know, back then.
And they're like
they're just such straight geeks.
They're in their hotel room rolling 20 sided dice.
No, thank you. Do you have any 7-Up? You know, it's, right. You know, it's funny. You know, they're you know, super nice, you know, people, and they weren't that type. And everyone thought they were kind of strange.
Well, they kind of are. So that is our dissertation on Moose Lake and the band Rush. No, dude, just Matt, try a little bit of everything. Don't hesitate. Shoot me an email at the app and specify which Moose Lake it is. I'll give the topo map a look, and we can sort of work out together like some primary considerations there with a little more data there. Kyle, howdy, fellas.
Kyle.
Hey-o. An episode or two ago, you mentioned the classification for musky lakes on the DNR website. I've Googled my balls off and cannot find a list anywhere.
Yeah, don't even. Yeah, the DNR thing. It's like it's hard to find a topo map. Seems like when
now,
you click on their topo maps now,
bro,
they don't even. He's looking for that classification.
He's looking for the classification. Let's see if we can't find it. You have you have a laptop open?
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know.
Come on, you can do it. Let's find this.
Okay.
I'm too busy playing bass.
So what are we're looking for? Wisconsin Lake Muskie classification.
We're looking for that DNR. There's a PDF where it lists all the lakes by county and tells you what their rating is as far as action.
Okay. Wisconsin DNR, the muskellunge. This should be good. Wisconsin state fish, the muskellunge.
Muskellunge!
Find a musky. It says find a musky water. Wisconsin muskellunge right. Waters. Let's try that one. Wisconsin musk. Oh, it's a book. Okay, it's a book. Yeah, here it is right here. Class A. These are the. Are you running that through some kind of?
No, that's just my
OD or something.
That's literally just through? How kick-ass my jazz bass is. It's really loud.
Don't agree. Class A. These are the premier muskellunge waters, considered by most to provide the best muskellunge fishing.
Mm-hmm.
These waters are broken down into two categories, depending on population numbers, size structure, and angling quality of the water. Class A1. These waters are best known as trophy waters for their ability to consistently produce a number of large muskellunge, but overall abundance of muskellunge may be relatively low. Angling action can be inconsistent in these waters, but the fish that are caught have a larger average size. Class A2. These waters are best known for providing the most consistent angling action, and they may have the potential to produce some larger fish as well. They generally have the best overall numbers of muskellunge, but big fish make up a small percent of the total compared to the Class A1 waters.
Right. And so
Class B is intermediate class, and Class C is these waters have musky, but they are not of major importance to the overall fishery.
So with that being said, you found that list in that PDF. Where were you able to access that? Where access that from?
I just Googled Wisconsin Lake Muskie classification, and the first thing is it says Wisconsin state fish, the muskellunge. So it's within that.
Okay. What would that website. Is that a DNR? DNR.
Wisconsin DNR.
DNR.wisconsin.gov/topic.
Yep. And then it says find a musky water, click on Wisconsin muskellunge waters, and boom,
right.
It's got some muskie.
If you scroll down this PDF, which I think, you know what? Yeah. This has got it, boys. So this PDF, I wonder if I can add that to the app without getting sued.
Yeah, it's cool. It's got, okay, let's say we're
all
going
right,
to.
Dude, I got you here. Hold on. This says,
what do you got?
This
what?
Says pub,
yeah, it's on there.
Pub number dot FH515. Let's Google that and see if it just automatically pulls this up as one of the first ones. What does this pull up on a Google search? That's IRS.gov. The third one down on Google is what you're looking for. So if you need to find this without a quick link, pub, P-U-B, space, N-O, dot, F-H, 515, will take you to Wisconsin State page for the DNR, and that link is there. So pub number F-H, 515. But yeah, I mean, it's such a
While you do that, I'm looking through Vilas County, which is where I live, and there's hundreds of lakes, right? And they're just listing the ones that have muskies in them, and it's cool because I'm looking through these classes, whether they're A1, A2, B, or C,
right?
And just to see how they list them and see how they hold up, because lakes, you know, everything's kind of in a constant state of change and. In terms of the fisheries too,
right.
So some of these were classified probably decades ago, but I mean, I think they all kind of hold true depending on, you know, the makeup of the water, like Lac de Flambeau chain, for example. You know, it looks like most of them are classified A1. That's the trophy potential,
right?
Big Saint Germain A1. Yeah, I don't know if I'd put that. It's A1. Yeah, interesting stuff, though. It's like if you're taking a trip, it's like, holy cow, if you're coming up to our area, you know, just punch up Oneida and Vilas counties, and it's like, look at the sheer number of lakes, and go from there.
Check her out. That'll help you get linked in on that with the internets and the stuffs. Jay, you're a heck of an interneter, buddy.
I am all over this. I'm going to, while you talk, I'm going to look up that one lake that we went to. That one time when you were here and see what it says. B class lake. All right. Little Joe Walsh.
Sorry. I have ADD from hell today, folks.
Life's been good.
What are you finding, buddy?
No, I was just, our lake that you like is classified B.
That gave up the 47 or gave up the 50?
No, a different lake.
Look up the one that we caught the 52 in and see what it says.
Oh, good point. Okay, that was... What county was that? A2.
What's that
Action.
Mean?
Action.
Okay, so we can tell you that action does not mean lack of size then.
Yeah. Well, it does say, you know, generally it's more action orientated, although some few fish exist. A few big fish exist. And they're right.
Yeah. So that should answer your question. Check them out. Books, check them out. That's a really cool read, though, for anybody if you're just interested in musky fishing to sort of get a grasp on what's going on in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's free. It's online. Very, very cool stuff.
It's on the internets, folks. On the internets. Kyle says, hey, guys. I'm about a Spitfire Kamikaze and was wondering if you replaced the cross lock snap on the lip with something different. No. That's
on there for a reason.
That's you attach your clip to that clip. Okay? So that is actually part of the action. You need that secondary clip to sort of hold the bait together and give it the action for the Spitfire. So just clip your leader, whatever it might be, whatever kind of clip you use, fast you snap, whatever. Attach it to the open end of that cross lock because the cross lock is holding the whole contraption together and gives it its action. Jackson Sean says, hey, D-Gents, West Virginia Creeker here. Jay, say Creeker.
Creeker.
That was weak. I want to thank you for the podcast and all the information you pass on to the common water beaters. Caught my first cabbage dragon the other evening while listening to the podcast. Well, thank you. It's a small creeker, but it was awesome. I'm trying to, currently expand my very limited equipment. And, I'm looking at the shield rods. He said, however, I'm afraid of getting a possum-tainted rod.
Mm.
He goes on to say some stuff I'm not going to say on the podcast. It's very funny. But he wants to know about the shield rods. Should he buy one? Shouldn't he? Yes. I love them. If you're on the fence on those rods, don't be. I'm not. It's no bluff. I'm throwing those rods for real. The bang for the buck on them is phenomenal, and they hold up like crazy.
Yeah, me too. I'm using them. Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely not like, oh, check them out. Buy one because I said so. You know, it's nothing like that. They're really good. I stake my reputation on that rod. I really like it. 9.6s are coming out when, Jay?
Later this fall, probably.
So there's some 9.6 models coming out for you guys that are on the taller side or need a bigger rod. I've been throwing the prototypes. They're bad to the bone. Cut that mega Wisconsin muskie on the 9.6, and it held up like a champ. So they're good. The last one is from Darren. Darren says, what are your tips to catch some quality fish during the fall transition, quote, pre-turnover period that we're about to go in? Well, that's pretty much what we've been talking about. What do you think, Jay? What's quality over quantity right now in pre-turnover?
Probably not throwing in 2 feet of water.
Yeah.
Probably looking for those outside breaks. Yeah, the bigger fish are usually not going to go up in 2 feet of water and try to maneuver around thick clumps of dying weeds.
Right.
That's my quality tip of the week, I guess.
No, I mean,
yeah,
it's
it's the deeper edges. It sounds that's what I've been focusing on.
It sounds simple,
but
it's so true because it depends on what kind of body water you're in, but you get the peak summer heat, the weeds start browning up.
Which they are around here now in quite a few lakes. Yeah. Yeah. We're getting some bloom going.
Check
on
that outside edge. I mean, I can't, like, the demarcation line between knowing what you're doing and not is, am I willing to throw not at the shoreline? You know, get comfortable with that. Throwing at open water or outside weed edges or outside structure where you're not thrown at the bank. That's why a lot of people will struggle this time of year, because those fish, you're parking your boat on top of the muskies a lot of times. If you're thrown at the bank right now, you're parking on top of where the fish are. Get a cast away from where your boat's parked. We already saw that in July, and the fish start out deep in the winter. They move in shallow to spawn. They linger. They move a little bit out. They move a little bit out. They move a little bit out. As it warms up, they move out. When it cools down again, they're going to go shallow again. Right? You're going to hear us preaching in a week or two. Get shallow. Get sloppy. Get this. Get that. But as it stands right now, as of today, you need to be looking at those deeper edges. Also, too, if you've got mid-lake structure, you got rocks, you got reefs, you got any humps, now's the time to be on those.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, if you're on a bowl-shaped lake and there's no mid-lake structure, get a cast off the stuff. But if you have, like, again, the rock humps or any rocky points, some of these places in Wisconsin or in the Midwest or anywhere, they have rock reefs, they have boulders. That's where the fish are going to relate to more often until they transition to move shallow again. So get on that stuff. Get out your crankbaits. I wouldn't be really burning blades or working on blades unless I was in low light conditions. I would be working that 4 or 5 feet down on the cranks, making contact with that structure. You know, whether it be cover oriented or not, but structure fishing is what's going to work right now until these fish move up shallow again. Jay Bird, do you have any other words of wisdom this week?
Well, we're going to be working on the 52-inch Monster Steve muskie episode.
That'll
soon.
Be fun. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to do a remote close, tape at your home for that. You know, we were talking about that earlier. And, you know, it's more of a tactic than, you know, a lot of the videos, most of the videos have been kind of tutorial closes on how to work the particular baits that were used in that episode. Which I think is valuable. You know, you can see how to work a bait to, you know, correctly. You know, a lot of people are buying stuff that has no packaging, that has no directions.
Right.
You know, so people are searching out that. And it's a good thing. But
yeah, absolutely.
This is going to be helpful, and it's the biggest fish of your trip. And it's an absolute monster, and I think it's going to be a good one. And
it's one of those things.
Hopefully,
we
get some information to people that they appreciate. You know,
it's one of those things. If you're a podcaster, you almost know what I'm going to say already. But you know, I feel a lot of times, you know, if I'm traveling, I'm a stranger in a strange land. It's not like I have home water there.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, what you do on a regular basis will apply. What we're talking about in the podcast will apply. Absolutely. You know, you don't catch a 50 inch above fish in Wisconsin very often. You hear 49s, you hear 50s. You don't hear 51s or 52s.
Well, yeah,
and that was not it was, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but it was by design.
Yeah,
it wasn't by accident.
It was an atypical type of approach.
Right. So we'll talk about that on that episode.
Around, yeah, there's people around you, you know, burning baits in the shallows, and they moved on and they moved around, and it's just like, okay, we're working this area.
All right.
And I wasn't with you guys, unfortunately, that one day.
All right.
The one day you get the Super Hog, and I wasn't there to film it.
Yeah.
Still kind of bummed about it, but it turned out well.
Anyway, so we'll share about that a little bit more. Anyway, folks, we're going to shut up. I got to get back on the boat. Jay, I've been extra retarded and extra ADD today. I apologize. We'll talk to you next week, folks.
Yeehaw, cowboy! Who doesn't love the classic country and western songs about muskie fishing? Jay Essie presents the Classics of Country Muskie Fishing Songs, available from Muskie 360 Records for just 9 payments of $49.99. Who can forget timeless hits like The Muskie Rolls?
"6:30 in the morning, not a boat in sight. Lake's looking like a ghost town.
And every muskie fisherman loves to get their beaver wet on the Muscahoochee.
Way down yonder on the Muscatoochee, the beaver bites hotter than a hoochie-coochie. Way down yonder on the Muscatoochee, the beaver bites hotter than a hoochie-coochie.
We've all been there. You gotta say, take this lake and shove it.
Well, take this lake and shove it. I ain't casting.
And don't be embarrassed to wipe a tear from your eye as J.S.E. sings The Toad Gambler.
You gotta know when to cast, know when to troll them, know when to burn the blades, when to load that tool.
Call now. Elmer is standing by.